I'll see. How many just appreciated that song service? Amen. My goodness gracious. Bro Tony, you were about to dance back there, buddy. he looked like he couldn't hardly contain himself back there a few times during the songs. And I like to see that. You know, I like to see somebody that's excited about the Lord. And you know, when the Spirit starts moving, it just happens. You know, sometimes you might find yourself dancing down the aisle and wonder how in the world you got there. I've done that a few times. How did I get here? And so if you ever feel that, you know, let the Lord move. You know, the Lord wants to move on you, move. You know, if he says, raise your hand, You know, and a lot of times we hinder our own revival, you know, because God's trying to do something. Something as simple as that. It could be the break of the revival for us or somebody near us. Yeah. I want to speak to you this morning on God in his church. God in his church. You know, how many knows it's important to have God in the church?
Amen.
Yeah. You can have church and not have God. You know, I want God. You know, that's the most important thing, the Holy Spirit in our life. So, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And I believe Hannah will have these on the multimedia. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I yield myself over to you. I ask you to use this piece of clay, Father, and Lord, help me to say everything in the exact demeanor that you want it said, Lord, and Lord, not trying to do anything within myself, because, Lord, I know I can't do anything. All I can do is yield to you. And, Lord, I ask you to touch every heart that's here today. Lord, every heart that will hear this service, I pray, Lord, that it will drop into their hearts, Lord, a little seed of faith, Lord, that they can believe your word, Lord. They can see the path a little clearer, Lord. And, Lord, your word is a word of power. We ask you that you would unveil yourself again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, there is a resistance when it comes to serving God and the purpose for your life. How many knows that's right? Yeah. And there is a heaven and there's a hell. And, you know, Satan will do his best to dilute the realities of that. Right. And, you know, there is a land beyond the river. You know, so many times it takes a funeral for it to come to a reminder to somebody who's sitting there that there is a land beyond that river. I want to be there. I want my family to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a real baptism of the Holy Ghost. And by his stripes we are healed. How many believes that?
Amen.
And if God can heal you, God can save you. If God can save you, God can heal you. You know, and that's a lot really like that when it comes to Abraham. You know, he didn't divide the doves and the pigeon. He kept them all together. Because healing and salvation, you can get the whole package. And I'm thankful for that.
That's right.
You know, and the church is not called to be a defeated people. And the church is not called to walk in fear. And let's go to 2 Timothy 1 through 7, and she'll have these on the multimedia for us. It says, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He has given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And if you go to the Amplified Bible, and that it says it like this. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardness or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that can result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, God has called us, he has given us a spirit where we can be stable in this walk. We are not nervous. We live in an age where everybody's nervous. Everyone's under pressure. Everyone's looking for the next best thing that's going to happen. And once I get this next best thing, then I'll be fine. And then it can be a product. You know, if I get this new fishing pole, if I get it, I'll be fine. You get it, and then another one comes out. And then, like, once I get it, then I'll be fine. And it's no matter what it is. It could be a car. It could be anything. And, you know, if I get this next paycheck, then I'll be fine. We get that paycheck. Well, then I need the next paycheck. It's a world of anxiety. It's constantly anxiety where you got to rush, try to get somewhere, rush to get there. And if I can just rush to get here, then I'll be fine. Well, you get there, then you got to rush somewhere else.
Right.
It's constant. And, you know, God has not called his church to be in that form, to where we're nervous all the time. And I understand there's a difference between a church and a bride, okay? So bear with me.
Right.
God has called us to not live a life of anxiety, of fear, and of nervousness all the time, but He is a God of peace. He's a God of stability. Amen? Right. And Satan will attempt to distort or pervert the way a person thinks. And you know, he will attempt to make you nervous all the time. And you know, a sheep that's nervous all the time, he won't be able to bear fruit like he should. He won't be able to bear the wool like he's able to do. And you know, it don't matter what sheep that's out there, he's got the capability inside him to bear what he was called to do of wool. And I want to say it like this: every child of God, every brother, every sister, you have the ability inside you to bear the fruit of the bride of Jesus Christ that's called for today. Right. You have that ability. Do you believe that about yourself? Amen. It's really easy to believe that about somebody else. Well, if Brother Tim needs a healing, or Brother Tony needs a healing, or Brother Jordan needs a healing, or Sister Elisa needs a healing, well, they can do it because they're a bride. Well, what about you? You're the bride. You are a child of God. So you have the ability in yourself that you can bear the fruit that you're called to bear. I want to bear my fruit. Amen. That song that they sung just really spoke to my heart, because I want to finish well. That's my desire in this life. I don't care about my house. I don't care about those things. It's nice to have a place to live. It's nice to have a car to drive. But honestly, from the depths of my heart, I want to get to the end where He said, "You have done well. Right. You have finished well." There's so many people that started this race and they quit. They got halfway through. For whatever reason, they quit.
Right.
Thank you, Lord, for not allowing me to quit.
Amen.
You say amen?
Amen.
It's God that didn't allow us to quit, because we would have quit a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah, you didn't say nothing. Yeah, you too. That's right. Every one of us would have quit if at one time or another, but it wasn't us. It was Him that's kept us all this time.
Right.
No, the characteristic of a good shepherd is He will calm down the sheep and He'll lead them to still pastures. He'll lead him to the still waters. Amen?
Yeah.
And so we need to identify the spirit that's affecting our life.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is of power, love, and a sound mind, as we said. It's not of weakness. It's not of division. It's not of confusion. So if we ever have something that's coming on us, and identify the characteristics of the spirit that's affecting your life. So there's so many times a person will think it's the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will not divide you from your brother. The Holy Ghost will not lead you into confusion. The Holy Ghost will not lead you into doubt.
Right.
Well, what if this happens? And what if this happens? What if this happens? The Holy Ghost does not do that.
Right.
The Holy Ghost will say, "Trust me. One step at a time, trust me."
Right.
Amen? That's true.
Amen.
We're going to quote to you. He says, now, we don't have time in this to go back to there, but we're going to start up here at the beginning of the church. And that was when God, now the word church means called out, the called out people. And I believe in every denomination under heavens today, there's got to be some good people in every one of them. And I believe that if Jesus comes, it'll be a called out group. And I believe that we are way away from the coming of the Lord. As far as the church is concerned, our conditions are in no condition for the coming of the Lord. We can't have faith for divine healing, let alone be raptured. There's got to be something happen. While somebody speaks of rapture and they say, "What are you talking about?" Some of them members of the church talk about divine healing. "I don't believe in such. They can't see." Well, I believe He's hypnotized them. Well, how did that person ever go in the rapture? How could He resurrect from the dead when there's nothing to resurrect from? There's nothing there to resurrect him. It's just a make-believe, a mental psychic. When you say, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God," that's all right. But brother, if it isn't coming from the heart, why, it's only mentally. And it can't come from the heart until the Holy Ghost bears record of it. Jesus said, no man, the Bible said, no man can say Jesus is the Christ only by the Holy Ghost, and you can't say it in yourself. The Holy Spirit has to speak it from you. You say amen.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost inside you that's agreeing with the word, and it's the Holy Ghost inside you that's going to rapture you.
Right.
Ain't that wonderful? It's not me. It's not your ability. Like, how am I going to rapture? You won't. The Holy Ghost will.
Right.
It's the Holy Ghost inside you that will give you the rapture. I can't tell you how many times that I was felt so sick, and last one. Good, just perfect, wasn't it? tell you how many times I was in the service and I needed healing and I was so sick and I didn't feel like I had an ounce of anything. Didn't feel healed, definitely didn't look healed. But out of absolutely nowhere, not even thinking of many times, something will happen, all of a sudden something will spark inside me and I receive my healing. Had nothing to do with how I felt. It was the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly the way healing comes so many times. A lot of times we think healing's going to come when I feel that, like a lightning bolt, like the, you know, we used to play video games a long time ago. And it would, like, you'd see the power meter going higher, 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 higher. And once it got to the point, like, super punch, you know. Faith, you think, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes your person will think, I got to wait till that faith is there. Faith is there, faith is there, faith is there. Now, claim it. Boom, I got the healing. It don't work that way. There are times you don't feel a thing. But what you do is you say, my God heals. His word heals. And there's a spirit inside you that agrees with that confession. And God will work on your confession. God will make good on your confession. Amen. Amen? Amen. Anyway, when you least expect it, God will heal you. So it's not when man claims to have the token, but it's when God recognizes the token. And it's not when we say that we have faith to be healed, but it's when God recognizes our faith to be healed. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So what we got to do is just make room for the Holy Spirit and make it appetizing for Him to come into your presence.
Right.
I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, just for a few moments. It says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she was constraining him to eat bread. And so it was, as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. Think about that. I believe she specifically, strategically placed these inside her room because she's thinking, what would attract this man of God? Number one, I want him to rest. Number two, I know he's a man that studies. He's a man that prays. This is a man I want to place in this room the things that will attract this man. This wasn't just anything. She took some thought into this. What can I do to make this man feel welcome? And listen to me, brother and sister, I'm saying this for just a moment. There's so many things that we can do in our life that will welcome healing into our life. There's things that we can do that can welcome peace into our life. There's things that we can do that will captivate God whenever he may have made. Bear with me, my carnal thinking. It could be as God is going to the Joneses down the street, but I want him to stop by my house. That means there's things that I can do to stop him from going there. Stop here first and then go there. Because I want my healing. I want the needs in my house. There's so many times that we settle and we let somebody else get the healing. It's not like God's got 5 coins in his bag and once he gets them, he's broke. God is inexhaustible.
Yeah.
So that whenever he's going to the Joneses, I want him to stop by my house. I want you to meet my needs. I want you to heal my wife, my son, my daughter, my cousins. I want you to do the things that's burdening me, Lord. And there's a way that I can get him to do that. I can do things in my life that will attract him.
Yeah.
Now, he has needs to go by Samaria, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Amen. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. This woman conducted her home in such a way that the man of God recognized it as a place of rest. And I want to plead this with you. Our home should be a place of rest. Our home is, we have anxiety out there. Like we can't, there's nothing we can do about them, but we can still walk in and eat in the midst of that. We know that's right. We do it every day. We do it every week. But you know what? We don't have to have that anxiety out there in our home. Our home is to be a place of rest. Because as I said, the characteristics of a shepherd is still waters. The characteristics of a shepherd is he will take you to the green grass. That's the characteristics of a shepherd. So we say that the characteristics of a shepherd, if you watch a shepherd, wherever that shepherd is at, what should there be? Still waters. Wherever that shepherd is at, he should be leading them. Where? To green pastures. So that means if we have the shepherd with us, what should we have?
Right.
Still waters. Yeah. Green grass.
If we're not with it, it's because somewhere down the road we have gotten away from the shepherd. Listen to me. He is faithful to us. He is so faithful. He is so mindful of it. He knows exactly what we have need of.
I caught a revelation standing right here last time I spoke, and the Lord fulfilled exactly the way exactly he showed to me. My wife and I can tell you now, it's already passed. You don't tell somebody before because you don't like, you know. We had the wedding come up, and we had to pay a lot more money than what we had to pay. We didn't know what in the world we were going to do to pay for the dinner. And we were like, we are sweating it out. And I was really preaching to myself and didn't realize about something. The Israelites were going to the water, and the Egyptians were right behind them all the way to the point. You could hear the clinking of the metal. Getting so close, and you've got the water right here, and you've got the Egyptians right there. Like, how in the world am I going to get through this? And the Lord just spoke to me just as clear and showed me of God was going to part the waters all the time. The Israelites could sit there and shook in their boots and panicked and worried and fret and worried and fret and fret and worried, and God was still going to part the waters. They could spend that time either fretting and worrying, or they could spend that job praising the Lord. Because God was going to part the water just the same. And I'm telling you what, just as clear as can be. So, Brother Dan, it's too simple for you. It sure helped us. Because you know what we got the day before? The day before, how's this going to happen? And all of a sudden, God parted the waters. And we just walked right through on dry land. And the waters closed up. Sometimes, in the midst of that, even in the midst of that, when the Egyptians are behind you, if you have the shepherd with you, you can say, I am with the shepherd, so I am in still waters. I trust him. And if you will trust him, take God at his word, trust him, you watch. Sometimes it will be where he's right behind you. You don't know what in the world you're going to do. And God will part the waters. I want to say that I pray that you can receive it the way God gave it to me. There will become times in your life where it looks like God ain't answering the prayer. Start praising him. Because he's still going to part the waters.
Right.
You may as well enjoy your time the way he does it.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I promise you, you get to that moment where I'm at, you're going to say a whole lot hearty amen to that.
Yeah.
Amen. Our home is to be a place of rest. I want it to be in my home whenever you come and you spend time with me. It's a place of rest. You know, the program talked about there's some people you just don't like to be around. You love the people, but you don't like to be around them. Why? Because of the anxiety.
Right.
But you got other people you just love them. You just didn't talk with them. You can go vacation with them. You can camp with them. You can do whatever you want to do. Because there's a peace and a love. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
It's at rest I'm talking about. Now, Satan will attempt to use the word in diluted form or distorted form to defeat the church. You catch what I said? Satan will try to defeat you with the word. He'll try to do it with a diluted form or a distorted form. Yeah, the Holy Ghost, the word did it before, but it doesn't quite do it like that before because we're smarter today. That's our problem. Is sometimes we're too smart. We need to be dumb. And say, you know, I don't know how God's going to do it, but God's going to do it. And then God will do it. Amen. Read this quote. He says, now we find out that these revelations come and man hears it. He recognizes it to be God and he acts on it. The carnal mind hears it and says foolishness and walks away from it. Now, could you imagine way back in Bible times when Noah was out in the field with one day? Now, he was a farmer and he heard the voice of God. And the voice of God said, there's going to be a rain. It's going to cover all the earth. I'm going to destroy all the wickedness of this world. It has to come to an end. Could you imagine Noah going up and saying, well, maybe perhaps I'd better build me an ark because it might rain? No. The word of God was revealed to him. While he didn't just... He just took it like that, and if he would have took it just like that, the first scoffers that would have come by and said, well, look at that old feller, he would have thrown the whole thing up and said, my, I quit. That's the way people do when you say, I got started, and the devil made me go back. The devil didn't do that. You did it yourself. Everyone that comes to God has got to be tempted and tried. They certainly do. A real believer has heard the word of God.
He recognized it to be the word of God, and he will act on it. Now, Noah certainly not. The scoffers come by and made fun of him. Now, catch this. But he pounded on the ark. Why? He was positive that that was the word of God that he heard. He recognized it to be God, and he acted on it. He was acting. It come to pass because God said so. Isn't that wonderful? Noah had heard the message. He received the message. And what he's saying is, if he didn't just come up with this idea and said, you know what, I better build an ark. God gave him the revelation, build this ark. And even though he was a revelation from God, scoffers come to him and gave him reason to disbelieve. Scoffers come and gave him reason to say, you know what? Is this really going to happen? Let me ask you, how many years have we been walking and we've been saying that God's going to give a rapture? Many times we've been saying that God sent a prophet. God gave us the word. God gave us this thing. How many times has the devil given scoffers your way to try to scoff at you, to get you to doubt, to get you to disbelieve? You know why? Is there really anything to this prophet? Is there anything really to this message that we hold on to? Is there really anything that we have? Satan will try to dilute it, and distort it. It's just a powerless denomination. Right. Brother and sister, God is not a denomination. You can have that same thing inside of a message church if you don't have the Holy Spirit governing your life and governing the church, governing your hearts. We are a denomination. You're nothing different than anybody else. Listen, he's a God of power, a God of transformation. Can you say amen? It brings an excitement inside of a believer to know and look. When you can look at a flower and see how it looks nothing like it's supposed to be. But what is it? A power of transformation will transform that thing into what it's called to be. And that's exactly the way God does his church. God has a transforming power inside our hearts. So we should be able to look back and say, I know what I was. And I know what God's making me. Right. It's really hard for people that grow up in church. You know why? Brother Daniel come from a world where I was drinking, doing all kinds of things, and you can look at that life and look at the new life. You can say, yeah, there's the change. But you take someone that grew up in church, grew up hearing the message, it's so hard to see where did the change take place. I've never drank. I've never smoked. I've never done these things. Satan will fight you. You got to put your mark in the sand and say, I know who I was, and I knew who I am. Brother Brown was like, how about the little black lady said, I ain't what I want to be, I ain't what I should be, but pray God I ain't what I used to be. Can you say amen? I'm changing. God is changing me little by little. But the rapture looks like that. Yeah, I may not look like that yet, but I ain't what I used to be. I'm still pounding on the ark. You know what? Scoffers will come. You may fall flat in your face, get mud all over your face. You know what you do? Get up, repent, pick up your hammer, and start driving nails. Yeah. It don't matter how many times you fall down. You may climb up on the ladder trying to build boards. If you fall flat on your face, get up, knock the dust off, and start pounding nails. Amen. You know what? It don't matter how many times you fall down, get up and start pounding nails. Because you know what? The divine promises of this Bible, if he did it for anybody else, he will do it for you. Amen. I was standing right here during the service and realized that God had healed my shoulder of something, of a knot that was there. How many members here? You probably in service. I reached up and told my wife, I said, God can heal this shoulder. I said, it's already healed. I looked at my wife. You can see it on the video. I said, praise God, I'm healed. The knot was gone. If God can do that for me, he can do it for you. He's the same God. I was laying in a hospital. They said, you have to do all this stuff. He's the same God. I don't need to go back to those things, because he's the same God. He's a deliverer. He's a healer. He's a provider. Right. Only thing that probably is the same, Brother Tim, I still can't sing. You may get on that other side, you'll think somebody, is that Elvis Presley? No, that's Brother Daniel. Wouldn't that be a miracle? Like, well, there is miracles. I'm going to tell you, God, my God, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. He's a provider. He'll do it. Amen. See, Satan, he will try his best to rob you of your confidence. We must be positive that what we have heard and what we are believing is the word of the Lord. Noah had to have confidence in it, that no matter what the devil's come, I know in what I believe. Listen to me. You need to know what you stand for.
Because if you don't know what you stand for, you will fall for anything.
Right.
If you fall in the land of reason, that devil will reason you out, reason you out, reason you out, reason you out, and you won't even know where you're standing, brothers. And we got to know who we are. We got to know where we're standing. When God gives you a territory, you know, in the military, they'll give you a territory of somewhere. It's your job to take this hill. That's your job. You focus on that job, and you have confidence in the training that God has instilled in your life. And then when the enemy comes, the fires come, that does not change the mission. The mission is you take this house, you take this mountain. You've got to do it, brother and sister, because God has equipped you. And that's what God's been doing with us, with a fivefold ministry of giving you word after word after word, fortifying you with His word. That way you know how to overcome the devil. Amen. And I promise you, you think those guys with the Holy Ghost burnt flew, they're sitting there and bullets coming toward them? No. Sometimes they're utterly afraid and they don't know what to do. And that's exactly the way a son or daughter feels sometimes. Is you know you're scared, you don't know how to meet these needs, but I know my training. I know what the word says. Amen.
Right.
And then you go back to your training. Amen. We need to have confidence in who we are. Noah was tried by scoffers and the reasons to disbelieve, and he was tried with reasons to quit. But the evidence that Noah believed the right message that he was building is because he kept building the ark. Listen to me. The evidence that Noah believed his message is he built the ark. And catch what I'm saying. The evidence that you believe this word is you're still pressing on. You're still hammering that nail. You may have mashed your finger 100 times, but you keep picking it up and you're trying it again. Keep driving those nails. Amen. If you don't feel like you're healed, keep pounding. If you don't feel like you're saved, you keep pounding. If you don't feel like I can get my promise, keep pounding. I may feel like they're out of there. I'm telling you, it'll be at the time when you don't think will be when God give you the faith for it. Amen. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. He says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted up in him, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's part of the scripture I really want to highlight on. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Noah received Christ. Did you agree with that? And how did he receive Christ? What was Christ's form at that time? To build an ark. So in order for him to receive Christ as he was right then, that means Noah had to build an ark. That was the form of Christ right then. And for him to take on the form of Christ, that was the fortification of that hour right then. God gave an image. This is Christ right now. So for him to be in Christ, he had to take on the form of what that message was. You know what? There's a form today. There's Christ today. What is the form today? Stop building an ark. We go out here and try to build an ark. It wouldn't do one thing for us. But what is it? It's because we have been given a message to take us back to the original faith of the fathers. To where we can have the real Pentecostal Holy Ghost inside your heart. Don't tell me you can't have it. I got it. Say amen.
Amen.
You can have it, brother and sister. Don't allow Satan to dilute it to a form to where you're just, well, you don't really ever know you got the Holy Ghost. You just haven't laid it. No, you won't know. Because as Brother Tony said, man, you put fire in your bosom. You know it. Listen to me, God, the Holy Ghost is real. The Holy Ghost is a fire. The Holy Ghost gives you a bounce in your step. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking to somebody and they don't know what in the world you're talking about, it's not very fun. But when you talk to somebody that knows what you're talking about, you never lose it. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to somebody that knows how to work on cars, you can talk about working on cars, and you get excited. You're like, yeah, whoever engineered, that's an idiot. Yeah. They're thinking that. You can put a filter on there. You know, and that's a rude expression, but you know what I'm saying. You talk about musicians. You know, Brother Tim put a video here a while back about beach balls. I'm just going to use that as an example, okay? Talking about whenever a guitarist or musician, this is how it feels when you're talking to somebody that doesn't know anything about guitars. There's a closet full of beach balls. He pulled out this beach ball and he said, yeah, I like this beach ball. He said, because it's got the form and it's got this edge, it's got the round, it's got this, it's got that. And as much as I hate to say it, Brother Jim, that's how I feel. They look the same to me. I can't tell the difference between a guitar. He said, but that's really the way it is whenever a believer, whenever you're talking to somebody that don't know what you're talking about, that's what it's like. But when you talk to somebody that says, yes, I know that God. I know that
that God that heals. I know that God that delivers. I know that God that provides. I know that. I know what about the Holy Ghost in my life. I know that. It's a different thing. Amen?
Amen.
So thank God I'm preaching to believers this morning. Amen?
Amen.
I start calling you delievers, but I think you're believers. I guess you can't be delivers. You've been delivered, right? So, you know, it's to walk in Christ in that day was to walk in the form of building an ark. After Moses delivered the children of Israel, all the children of Israel had to do was abide in thanksgiving. This is I felt the Lord just kept over and over bringing to me. Just as sure as Brother Daniel and Sister Vicky's trial, all we had to do, because God was going to part the waters, all we had to do is abide in thanksgiving. If we will just abide in thanksgiving in the midst of waiting for your promise to happen, brother and sister, we'll live such a victorious life. We just get to abide in thanksgiving. Whenever my wife is starting to get stressed, or I start to get stressed, we'd say, you know what? Hey, we're going to abide in thanksgiving. Is that true?
Right.
Preaching to myself. You'll find out, anytime a preacher stands behind this pulpit, most times he's preaching to himself. Amen?
Amen.
Is that right, Tony?
Yeah.
There you go. There's a shortness in that feed back there. I don't want to come through. When a preacher's preaching to him, it's not because he's saying, well, look at you, you unbeliever. He's not saying that. He's preaching to himself. He's saying, hey, this word is overcoming power. This word is for you. You can have this. That preacher needs that same promise. Amen?
Yeah.
We're taking a mountain. Take your mountain. He's preaching to himself many times. God would have still parted the waters all the time, but all they needed to do was abide in thanksgiving. I want you to remember this, because there's going to come a time, and this will echo to you. Remember that whenever it feels like, I'm out of time, God, I need you to move this water, abide in thanksgiving. So you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God did. I'm thankful for what God's providing. I thank God for healing our bodies. I thank God. You begin to think about the blessings. You can sit around a campfire, and you talk about scary stories. How do you feel? Scared. You can sit around the same campfire and talk about God, talk about blessings, talk about wonderful things. What happens? You feel the presence of the Lord. Why? You're welcoming those spirits. Listen, we do not want to welcome the spirit of anxiety. The spirit of anxiety will lead you to doubt, to where you don't know what you're going to do. That's not the Holy Ghost. Speak of the positive things. My God heals. My God provides. My God, the unity. Don't allow the devil to bring thoughts where you go against your brother, but pull your brother back into that circle. I'm going to tell you something, too.
Brother Brown said something that we don't hear a whole lot about too much, but I think we need to be reminded of it.
You know, one of the greatest things that we can do is if you come to my house and we're eating some beans and you get a bone, spit the bone out and keep eating beans. If you're eating chicken, you come to a bone, spit the chicken out and keep eating chicken. If you're eating a pie, you come to a seed, spit the seed out, keep eating pie. You say amen?
Yeah.
Brother and sister, remember, don't allow the devil to take one little thing that you don't agree with and hinder the rest of the services or the coming services, because that's exactly what the devil will do. He'll try to take one thing that you don't agree with or take it the wrong way, and many times you go back and listen to it, you heard it wrong in the first place. Put that in your pouch for me. Would you do that for me?
Yeah.
Next time the apple comes across me and say, you know, I don't quite agree with that, spit the seed out. Maybe even keep the seed. Look at it later. You might find out it's right. You might find out it's a bean. I'm not going to eat it later. Take that nugget, Brother Daniel. I'm telling you, these are little bitty things. Put these in your tool pouch, and you'll find out this is how the devil fights the church. He'll try to get, during a perfect word that's coming toward you, the devil will try to slant your eyes and your hearing toward what's being said. You know, have you ever ate drunk orange juice?
And then eat a bowl of cereal?
Nasty.
Right.
But if you don't drink the orange juice, you just eat the bowl of cereal, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many times the reason that what we're eating is not good is because of what we just ate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're tainting your taste buds of what you're eating. Listen, it's so important that we are eating the right things, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday,
right.
On a daily basis.
Amen.
Because whenever you're eating that stuff and you eat stuff that goes good, could you imagine eating some toast with cinnamon and then eating the cereal? Oh, my, that'd be good.
Some of you are like,
that's disgusting.
You know what I'm talking about. You and you're eating things that complement the service. Eat things that complement your walk with the Lord. When you do that, you'll find out it's a whole lot better. You'll find out your fellowship's better. You'll find out hearing the service is better. You'll find out worshiping God is better. Why? Because you're eating the right things before you get there. But you can't eat the wrong things and then say, well, that must be wrong, whenever you're the one that's wrong, because you're eating on the wrong stuff. I'm talking about because we must be walking with our shepherd. Amen. If you are walking with your shepherd, there will be characteristics of it that he's with you.
Right.
If Brother Tim wears, and I don't know if you can wear cologne, but pay attention. But let's say he wears polo. Brother Tim wears polo and we're hanging around, we're in the vehicle, and we spend very much time together, guess what my truck should smell like? Polo. Why? Not because of Brother Tim, but because something that's on him. It's a presence that's on him. And that's exactly the way it is with a believer. Whenever you are really walking with God and you're walking with your shepherd, there will be a fragrance about you. And then whenever you leave, that a bit of that fragrance is left there. And then what is it? It's not me. It's the presence that's on me. And that's exactly the way it is with a Christian, brother and sister. When we visit someone's home, there will be an aroma left of something. May that aroma that's left with them be something that's pleasant.
Amen.
For you know what? That's a good brother. That's just a good sister. Then it won't be. Let's pray that we don't have that evil spirit in our house. Amen? Because that devil, the Holy Spirit, does not cause division. He brings unity. Amen? And I learned something. Brother Tim does not wear clothes. That's what that smell's been around here. I love my brother Tim. I've given that poor brother so much trouble over the years. And I was thinking about this the other day when I was combing my hair. Like, I've got some days coming, I'm trying to tell you, because it's getting a little thin up top there. You know how many times I've ragged and dragged him over the coals. I'm going to be bald. My life could probably be all but one streak down the middle. I love you, brother, sister. I'm just trying to minister you from my heart this morning. This is what we want. We want to have God in his church, is to have his presence in his church. To have his presence in his church, he will do the same works that he ever did. He will do the same things. When you need healing, he'll give you healing. You need strife, you need deliverance, God will give you the deliverance. If you need to reach out to your brother and your neighbor needs help, you have the authority to claim promises for your neighbor. Amen? We have the authority. Brother Brim says this. He said, God gives a man a message. He hears it. He recognizes it to be God, and then he acts on it. Nobody else's business. It's his business. God sent him on God's business. He's on the business of the king. And everything should make room for the king. That's right. You go to England and start down the street, have a message on the king's business. Every policeman will direct the traffic. Everything else, because you're on the king's business. That's right. Any country has a king. As long as you're on their business, you got the right of way. Now catch that. As long as any country has a king, as long as you're on their business, you got the right of way. I tell you, we ought to have tonight the right of way. Let me tell you something, brother. Whether you want to recognize it or not, here it comes. We got the right of way. Amen. That's right. The Holy Spirit gives the right of way if you'll only stick out your chest and hold your head up and march on. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Whenever God speaks to you, not just from a pulpit, I'm talking about on your daily walk, brother and sister, when God will speak to you a word, a message, and you claim that message and you receive that message into your heart and you're walking, that gives you the right of way wherever you go. Because you've got the king's message. But you know what? That man that goes to that country, you know, he may start out with the king's message, but if somewhere down the road and he no longer has the king's message, he just has himself, he won't have right away. They'll pull those rights away from him. But whenever we have that message, it's so important that we catch that, what I just said. You can start out and have right away. But if the devil can ever get you to where you're no longer packing the king's message, you're just like everybody else.
Right.
Listen, you take a believer that's got the word, they're an invincible army. They'll move forward, policemen will come, they'll part waters, they'll do all kinds of things because you've got the king's message. You've got the word in your heart. You're walking with the word. If you get to a point and you get away from the word,
those police officers are no longer obligated to part the ways for you. Listen to me, God will cause heaven and earth, everything to move for his bride that's walking with this word. You will be an invincible army as long as you're walking with the word. But if you ever get to the point where you're no longer walking with the word, you're just going like a church member, listen to me, he is not obligated to part the waters for you anymore. He's not obligated to cause things to move out of your way. You can walk straight into that wall if you're not walking with the King's message. But listen to me, if you are walking with the King's message and you're being led by the Spirit and God leads you to walk that way, you can walk with your chest out, your head up, and you, when you get there, either the wall will move out of the way or God will put a door there. And it may be when you're eyeball to eyeball to the wall before he does it, but God will do it. Listen to me, it's not the church that's right, it's God that's right. It's not the church that's right, it's the message that's right. And listen to me, if we ever get away from the message, we are just a denomination. And listen to me, you said, but I've got the prophet's quotes. The Pharisees and Sadducees had the law. And they completely missed the presence of Jesus Christ right in their midst. Because he did not come the way they expected him to come. Listen to me, we want to be walking with God, hearing God, meditating on God, thinking on God, our mind constantly on him. Because that way we know him. We see him. When we see God move, we see him move. We see him go there, we see him move. Why? Because we are walking with his Spirit on a daily basis. Let me say this as your friend. If you're not walking with God every day and walking by the Spirit, being led by his Spirit, God opening his word to you, how in the world do you think you're going to be ready for a rapture? Listen, that's where we got to make ourselves ready. That's where we ourselves on a daily basis, we are granted the garments, we're granted this message, we're applying this message to our heart, we're listening to God on a daily basis where God will lead his people. Do you believe that God wants to lead his people?
Amen.
He wants to lead you, not just on Sunday and Wednesday. God wants to lead you when God will come down on your bed in the cool of the dew and cause you to pray, cause you to read your Bible, cause you. That's not just the ministry. Ministry definitely should be doing it. That's you. Listen to me, fathers. You are the priesthood of your home. You are the one that whenever the weaker vessel gets weak, you're the one that pulls them back to the way. You're the one that holds the standard. You're the one that shows that, hey, we're pressing toward this height. Why? Because you are holding the vision of your family. You take a father in his position and a wife in her position in your home, you can move mountains. When you're doing it together. Listen to me. As we said in the Bible study here a few nights ago, when your heart does not condemn you, you can have confidence toward God. But listen to me, if you are allowing things into your life and into your home and you have doubts in yourself because you know it's not right, but you do it anyway, whenever you do that, you do not have confidence toward God. And then whenever you go to pray, you don't feel that. And listen to me, whenever your heart is pure before God and you know, hey, I may have fell yesterday, but I claim that blood again afresh today. Lord, you are worthy. Your blood is worthy. And because that's worthy, I'm worthy. Your confidence is what? In the blood. Not in yourself. But when your confidence is in that as a father and as a mother, now listen to me, you have the ability to move mountains. It's where you can claim your children, but the greatest movements that my wife and I've seen is where the two of us are in such a desperation, we don't know what we're going to do. And we get on our knees together, put our hands together, and we say, God, I don't know how I'm going to move this mountain, but God, move the mountain. God, help us. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, help me, Lord. And you'll find out that there's a unity in the faith between a husband and a wife, that when they come together, brother, sister, you melt away the fear. You melt away the anxiety. You melt away all these things. What are you doing? You are welcoming faith. You are welcoming. That's the table. That's the lampstand. That's these things. That's the bread. Is what it is. It's a humble heart before God and saying, God, I need you. Move this mountain. Save my kids, Lord. I'm worried, Lord. I don't want them to be lost. I don't want them to be in the great tribulation here. I don't want them to be. God, help me. When you can take that and bind together, that is God in his church. God in his homes, because God does it in homes first. You get God's in the homes, you get God in the church. You get God out of the homes, you won't have God in the church. You'll have a religious service. I'm not interested in religious services. I'm not religious and mediocre. I want the best. If I want to be a salesman, I want to be the top of the board. If I'm fishing, I want to catch fish. brother and sister, as being a church, that's what we do. That should be our aim. Don't ever allow it to be that we come to service and settle for that. Well, this is just it. We just must believe. That must be it. No, that's not it. We can walk out of this place with a pep in our step, a bowing in our heart, but we're ready to testify to somebody. Yeah. Say amen. Don't tell me that stuff passed away. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 18 years old, and it's still that way. Yeah. A bounce in my step where I'm seeing one of them. I've told you some testimonies of years ago where I'd be at Littlefield gas station pumping gas, and there was a bitter old lady that worked inside, and I was saying, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad I can say one of them, stick my coma, one of them. I go inside that house, inside the deal to go pay for the fuel, and I'm standing there, I'm tapping my That bitter old lady sitting behind that table, she looked over and said, would you quit humming? Every time you come in here, you're happy. Every time you come in here, you're humming. I said, well, you get the Holy Ghost one time and see if it don't do it to you. It's a lot harder than it looks to be quiet when I've got something inside me that makes me happy. Yeah. You say, amen. I'm not just talking foolishness. I'm talking reality. That was back when I was probably 20 years old, 22 years old. I'm 41 years old, and guess what? I still do it. Yeah. I'm still being at the gas station. I'm saying, Sometimes I'll be singing. I was singing it right up here at Casey's the other day. It's on video. It's on record. It's on record somewhere else, too. You know what? I was sitting there singing a song. I don't remember what song it was. And a color man on the other side. I love that song, man. He said, it puts a bounce in my step. I said, me too. I love it, man. I love it. What is it? I'm a Christian. Praise God. Amen. You know what? Wherever I go, that man left there and said, you know what? I met some fool at the gas station that was pumping gas. And we just sang together. Amen. Listen to me. If you're a Christian, be a Christian all the time. If you're a believer, be a believer all the time. Because you know what? Whenever you're doing that, you are creating an environment around you. And you are welcoming miracles. Amen. That woman didn't have any clue. But you know what? Because she welcomed that prophet into their house, you know what she said? What do you have need of? She don't need anything. I would that we'd be like that. Mm-hmm. Lord, come and say, what do you need? Actually, Lord, I don't need anything. I just want to praise you. There's a song that says, sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just lift my hands. Oh God, may it be that when we worship God, not because I need something, but just because God, you're worthy. Amen. You are so worthy of my praise. Amen. And I just want you in my home. Amen. I want you in my car. I want you in my car deals. I want it to be, Lord, that whenever that every transaction I do, you can sign on that and say, I approve this transaction. And I can bless this transaction. And it can be a blessing. May it be in whatever capacity of your job. If I'm sweeping the floor, may I sweep that floor in the name of the Lord. May that be the cleanest floor you've ever seen. Do it with honesty, do it with integrity. And I'm telling you, when you do that, meditating on the Lord, if you're counting that money, sister, do it in the name of the Lord. No matter what you're doing, do it in the name of the Lord. Listen to me. You are welcoming the presence of God in your midst, and people see it. We are the light of this hour. Amen. We are the light. You say amen? Amen. You. Yeah, you. You. Don't look at that big old bug eye. You. All of you. You are the light of this hour. And God has called you for a mission where God can be in you, in your midst. You can count on Brother Daniel calling you out, and I'm going to call you out again. We got some of the best singers in this building. To the point that Brother Ben Norod thought we had Randy Dragos. Brother, you've got a gift of singing. And when you will keep that gift protected, sanctified before the Lord, whenever you step up and you stroke that guitar and you sing that song, you are breaking chains for people around you. It is a ministry. Listen to me, every person in God places his church, God places individuals, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. God does everything in order, God does everything in harmony, but whenever God places you as an individual, how many want God to place you? I do, I want God to place me, not just in the church, I'm talking about at home. I don't want to be at the washing machine if I should be over here mowing the yard. I want to be to the silliest of the little things that I do in my home. I want to be exactly where God wants me to be. And whenever we will look at the small things, say, Lord, I want to be led by your spirit in this. I want to mow my yard in the name of the Lord. I want my yard to be where somebody goes by and says, my goodness, ain't that a nice lawn? You know what? Because God gave me that home, and I'm listen, God gave you a car, we should have a clean car. You know why? Because God gave you the car. God gives you the house, it should be a clean house. Why? Because God gave you the house. This means God gave us a building. It ought to be the best building. And the natural claim is why God gave us the building. But brothers and sisters, not just the tangible things, the spiritual things, where we conduct it in the spirit of the Lord. When someone drops by my house, there's an anointing that comes from my home. When someone comes knocking on my door trying to sell me something for the 713th time, I don't want solar panels. But thank you. You know what I'm talking about. You live in town? Even in the times when they're agitating me, as Brother Tony said, you ever want to roar like a lion? Brother? Yes. Not really about the, not about the traffic. That, I'd never want to roar like a lion like that. I'm just going to confess this before you so everything's clear. I got a dog that likes to bark. And it's not even a bark, it's a ugh. How annoying was that? Just for three of them. Yeah. Over and over. And you let the dog out. You bring it back in. It's been 3 minutes. Over and over and over. Brother, there's so many times I would love to be able to roar like a lion. And that dog not make another for the rest of the night. I don't want to kill the dog. I just want to be quiet. We as people, there's sometimes, whether we want to admit it or not, there's sometimes we feel like we wish we could roar like a lion. Every one of us. That's this guy right here. We'll make a conversation, say, you know what, maybe it's time to take her and put her down. Maybe it's time to do this, and then grace takes over. Begin to say, you know what, she's been a good dog. She's been a friend. She's done that. She was with us. She was good all those times. So let's bear with her during these bad times. Catch what Brother David's trying to say to you this morning. There's a lot of time. There have been brothers and sisters that were good for you for a lot of time. And just because they start making some bad mistakes, let's remember that. And say, you know what? That's still my brother. That's still my sister. I love him. I'm going to draw him back in my circle. They may, you know what, the people that hurt you the most is the people you love. They're close to you. They can say things, or you hear something they said, or something comes by. It's not them, it's the devil. Whenever someone does that, give them grace. And say, you know what, there's plenty of times that I've done that same thing. Amen. Read one more quotes, we'll be done. I want God in his church. Brother Brim says, someone said when I come out of my great trial, that time after I lost my wife and baby and everything, said, Brother Brim, did you keep your religion during that time? I said, no, sir. It kept me during that time. So that's what it's for. I can't keep Christ. He keeps me. It isn't whether I hang on, it's whether he held on, and it's a gift to me. And then when noticing that people have this hard time, there's going to be something wrong somewhere. Now, if the Christian religion only consists of a declaration of a creed, denomination, or intellectual, then we don't need nothing but real good, smart group of people. That's all we need if the church is to be governed by an intellectual. Now, intellectual is all right. You can receive the word intellectually, but let it soak down through to the heart. That's where it begins to reap results. Now, but if God meant for us to run his church by denomination or by creed, then the only thing we need is the intelligence of a man. Smarter the man, the better the church. But that wasn't God's program. God's program was for the Holy Ghost to run the church. The Holy Ghost was given for the church. And we have two faculties running the church at the same time. If man runs it, the Holy Ghost is out. If the Holy Ghost runs it, usually the man goes out. So it's just one or the other. So we must come to this conclusion that God intends the Holy Spirit to run the church Now, I don't mean just the Spirit gets up and preaches, because the Holy Spirit sets people in the church in for certain things. It's the Holy Ghost that puts the church in order. Say amen?
Amen.
And it's just for the church, and this is for the individual. Don't allow, remember, when they denominated, they did it with good intentions. They said, we want to keep this move of God, so we're going to do this. And they made a denomination because they made laws, and this is what we believe, and that's it. And the Holy Spirit left. Why? Because they tried to govern the church with intellects. And when they did that, it died. And any denomination, after it died, there's no revival. You'll never see anywhere else where it come back to life because it died. Listen to me, God will do that. That happens in a church, and it can happen to an individual. If we come to a point to where we are allowing our intellects to lead our life, the Holy Spirit can no longer lead you. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. The Holy Spirit wants to come and speak to your heart, to where you are singing the songs, where you're meditating. You don't have to sing like Brother Daniel does, but you know the real you. You know the real experience in your heart. You know where you stand with God. But listen to me. We do not want to ever allow ourselves where we are allowing the governance of man. We need the Holy Ghost. Because you can't have one. You can't have both. You're either going to be walking by your intellects, or you're going to be walking by the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, brother and sister, you don't know everything about it. You don't know how I'm going to do everything, but you know in who you believe. Amen? Mm-hmm. I think this thing's going dead. I don't know what's going on there. We need to be led by the Spirit to where the Holy Spirit is governing our church and governing our families. Listen to me. Your family's counting on you. Your brother and sister, when you look at somebody, look at next to them. Pitiful. That person next to you is counting on you. That person next to you is counting on you to be led by the Spirit. And I don't mean that as a burden to them. It's to say, hey, you know what? That's right. They are counting on me. Listen to me, that little babies, they're counting on you. Them babies are counting on you to be your best. Can you imagine Brother Tony coming up here and having his shirt half buttoned and dirty? And nothing, there's nothing wrong with being dirty, just being clean as you possibly can. Could you imagine him coming in there and not prepared at all for service and just coming in there and hair all messed up and just didn't prepare a single bit and come up behind the pulpit? How would you feel? You would say, you know what, Brother Tony, you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared also. Because you know what? It works together. A husband and wife works together. You know, the wife, my wife has to remind me sometimes, because I'm guilty. I'm going to put myself out there again. I preach, I'm probably one of the hardest preachers about getting flowers for your wives. And my sister, my daughter-in-law really called me out on here a while back. She said, yeah, and I said, we were playing a game on the table there, and she said, you know what? You preached about those flowers. She said, I'm yet to walk in this house and see some flowers. My wife would have said, it has been a while. Is it true? It is. But you know what? I need to walk in it. If I'm going to preach it, I need to demonstrate it. And the same way with us as individuals, if we are going to be preachers to our families, we need to walk in what we're preaching. Is that right? Yeah. If we're going to tell somebody else, hey, you don't worry, God's got your back, we need to remember that same thing whenever we're going through it. Yeah. That's right. So I'm going to do my best. I'm making myself right before you. I'll do better. Don't you brothers look at me. You've probably done the same thing. Nobody's here. Nope, not me. I pray that what I'm saying this morning makes sense. I'm going to ask you something. We'll fix your clothes. How many of you believe with all your heart? I believe Brother Tony wants the absolute best for this church. Honestly. How many of you believe that Sister Lisa wants the best for this church? How many of you believe that the musicians want the best for this church? Mm-hmm. Absolutely they do. That's the reason we do what we do. Who believes Brother Daniel does? Amen. That's the reason we do what we do. It's because we want the absolute best for this church. The best for you. Best in your walk. So don't, please, catch what Brother Daniel says. Whenever, with that mindset, whenever he ever starts digging in your tater patch and starts to, don't look at that as the vantage point where he's just trying to be a bully. But Tony, would you come here for a moment, please? I want to demonstrate something to you. This is not rehearsed. Anybody knows Brother Tony hates anything that's not rehearsed. I like it. Give me some bubble gum. That's not what I'm doing. I'm going to see how many remember. Brother Tony, is, he and I are walking. Just walk with me, brother. Could you imagine this brother walking up to me and just going, could you imagine him doing that? Logic, me. Completely unrehearsed, okay? I want you two to walk like you haven't seen each other in a little while, and you're walking past one another. How do you walk like past one another? Let me ask you, is that about original as it gets? When you meet this brother, it don't matter what end of the street, if you meet this brother in the end of the street, and I can call every brother, every sister, it'd be the same thing. Whenever you meet them on the street, meet them wherever they are, that's exactly how he acts. Not because he says, how should I act? And notice, he didn't walk up to Elijah. I'm the authority around here. He would never do that. It's completely contrary of his nature. Completely contrary, brother and sister. Remember that. When the brother's breaking bread and he's giving corrections and doing that, that is an illusion that the devil will put in your mind that he's trying to pick on you. But in reality, when he's doing that, that brother is walking up to Elijah and he says, God bless you. How are you doing? Amen. You can be seated. Go ahead and I'll stand. That devil that tries to put thoughts against the ministry if the ministry doesn't like you, he's beating on you. He's picking on you. Catch what Brother Daniel said. I want to say it loud. It ain't nothing but a lie. Right. This ministry is here. It loves you. Amen. It cares about you, and it believes in you. He believes in your strengths. I'm going to tell you how much this brother believes in strengths. He told me he likes to hear me sing. He said, Brother Daniel, when you sing that song, he said, there ain't nobody else that ever heard sing that song. He said, because that's the way I'll always remember it. Listen to me, when that brother is packing the armor, there's so many times that sword gets so heavy, that shield gets so heavy, you're like, I don't know how in the world I'm going to go through it. I don't know how I'm going to face this enemy. But you know what he does? He sticks his chest out, holds his head up high, and marches forward. Amen. One more service. And he may not get any amens, he may not get any shouts, he may not get no hands up, but he holds the sword up. Amen. And he keeps holding the shield up. Amen. He's saying, Lord, one more time. Listen to me, brother and sister. We need to pray for the ministry. Amen. We need to say thank you to the ministry. Amen. Thank you for not quitting. I want to say, Brother Tony, thank you for not quitting. Amen. You say amen?
Amen.
This is not completely unrehearsed. This is just really from my heart this morning.
We need to say thank you. Thank you for not quitting. Thank you for holding your head up. Thank you. There's only four of us here tonight, but we still keep preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all just bow our heads. Ask musicians come on forth. Lord, I come to you this morning. And I thank you. I thank you for this people that you've given us this opportunity to serve you with, Lord. And I thank you for Brother Tony. I thank you for Sister Lisa. I thank you for Brother Tim, Sister Catherine, Matt and Brittany, Jordan and Anna, Lodge and Rachel. Lord, I could go right down the list of Hannah, Malachi. Lord, I could go right down the list, Lord. Laura, Brian, Lord, I could go down and just name everyone. Sister Mary, our Sister Pansy. Lord, you have given us the best. You've given us the rugged Christians, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to allow us to serve together. And Lord God, I ask you the times that their swords get heavy, that their shields get heavy, Lord, that we will be mindful, Lord, that there are brothers going through a struggle, our sisters going through a struggle. Go to our Brittany, our Matthew, the Wheeler family, Lord, all the boys, Lord. Thank you for them, Lord. Lord, I know sometimes the traveling, it gets hard. Sometimes when the winds are blowing, it gets hard. Sometimes you can't even think because it's hard. Scoffers coming from every angle, Lord. I'm trying to give reasons to quit. Reasons to say, you know what, it doesn't matter. And Lord God, Noah kept building on that ark, Lord. He kept swinging the hammer. He picked up another nail.
Lord God, I just ask you that we would do that same thing, Lord. Oh God, help us to pick up another nail, Lord. Help us to do our part on building the ark, so to speak, Lord. Oh God, I ask you, Lord, we know we read a quote, Lord, from a prophet that we believe to be a prophet, Lord. It said that they make way, Lord. They give a right of way when you have the king's message, Lord. Things have to move out of the way. Lord, I ask you, Lord, would you walk the aisle this morning? Lord, you knock on hearts afresh, Lord. Lord Jesus, touch the ministry of this church, the musicians, Lord. Lord, the people that take up the offerings, Father. Help us, Lord God. Help us to be more fervent in what we do, Lord. Oh God, I ask you for a fresh anointing in our hearts, a fresh anointing in our lives, fresh anointing in this church, God. Lord, through every service, Lord, that we will acknowledge that this is my time to worship my King, Lord. Oh God, would you walk the aisles this morning? Lord, would you knock on hearts, God, and Lord Jesus, that they can each one make a fresh commitment with you, Lord. Say, Lord, right here, right now, Lord, I want to be my best for you, Lord. Oh God, I ask you, Lord, that I can just reach out and touch the hem of your garment, Lord. Lord, it makes me so sad when I see my brother or sister that has struggles, Lord. And I know me as just a man, Lord, that feels that. I can't imagine how it makes you feel, Lord. Because you are so mindful of your sheep, Lord. You are so mindful of them, Father. You want to be in their lives. You want to lead the church. You want to lead our lives. Oh God, I ask you, Lord, would you come? Come down as a blanket over this church, Lord. Oh God, and melt away every infirmity, Lord. Lord, I ask you that each little sheep would begin to just manifest that wool that you've given them the capability to do, Lord. If they need healing, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, from the four corners of this building, Lord, through the sounds of my voice, Lord, I ask you to heal every infirmity in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you bring a refreshment in their spirit, Lord, a revival in their prayer life, a revival in everything that they have, Lord, a revival in their relationships, oh God. Let there be a purifying, consuming fire this morning, Lord. Consume us, oh God. Lord, consume everything that's unlike you, Lord, and purify our hearts, Lord. Oh God, we love you. May we worship you with all of our hearts, with a clear channel with you, Lord. With confidence in who you are. We love you with all of our hearts, Father.
Thank you. many can say amen to the words of Brother Daniel shared with us this morning? I was listening to a sermon yesterday that was talking about the effect of God in his church. Exactly what God does when he comes in. And I really appreciate the things Brother Daniel said. You know, I kind of feel like Moses when he was there watching over the children of Israel and they were fighting their battle, and when he would get tired, they'd start losing battle, and they'd lift his hands up and hold them. And I feel like that's what Brother Daniel's done this morning for me. So appreciate it, brother. We do speak that which we know. As ministers, we stand here. Brother Daniel, I can tell you both of us, we tell you what we know to be true, what we believe to be true, and what we've experienced ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we go through times in our life where God has healed us, only to find out that something else comes along and you find yourself in need of healing again. You know, 2 years ago, just a little over 2 years ago, on a New Year's Eve night, I had had lower back kidney pain for several years. And going to a urologist and him talking to me and trying to treat me and so forth, and God healed me that night. About 6 months later, I had a doctor's appointment again, and so he's in there, he's talking to me about the different things and, you know, trying to see what my case is or whatever, and he asked me about the back pain, you know, and I said, I don't have it anymore. You know, God will heal you and he'll do things so you can tell somebody.
That's
right. So I'm standing there with a man who's went through all the medical, he's a doctor, and I said, I don't have it anymore. And I told him what happened. I told him I was sitting in church service and a sermon about healing, and at the end of service, whenever the musicians begin to play, just something just came over me. I wasn't even thinking about it. But from that night on, and he just looked at me, you know how doctors are, they're, you know, and he said, well, we'll take what we can get then. So, you know, but God is a healer. Listen, he can't fail. He cannot fail. If you'll just stay inside that ship with him, he will bring his promises to pass to every one of us. I'm so thankful. And so we just, as ministers, we just want to share those things, you know. As Brother Daniel said, be a believer all the time. And I believe that real Christians are. They are believers all the time. Amen. And so, could you imagine Paul and Silas when they were in prison? They had those chains on. What do you think it would have been like if all night long Paul and Silas just sat there and talked to one another about how those chains were hurting their wrists and their ankles? Think about us, what we spend our time doing, because we live in many trials, right? But they didn't do that. Sure, these things we go through, they hurt and they're trouble and they have to be dealt with. You have to face them. There's something about praising God in the midst of your battle. Amen. Like Brother Daniel said, you know, you can sit around a campfire and tell, or wherever, and talk about spooky things, and you'll begin to get spooked because them evil things come to that. But oh, just how it is when you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he comes, and you begin to feel, because that's his presence. And so you can, in your homes, in your life, make an atmosphere. You know, everything's got a habitat that he lives in. Everything's, for them to talk about, make it so that the Lord wants to come by, and he's coming by your street. He's like, you know, I know I'm supposed to be going to Jones's, but I just got to stop by here. You can make an environment where the Lord just absolutely has to come there. And how many knows, it's a common thing in the message. I say it quite all the time because I'm quoting Brother Biscoe talking about the testimony that Brother Benham looking over at him and said, every time he comes near, something good always happens. You know, when Brother Daniel walks through the door, what are you going to experience in this room? You're You're going to see him. You're going to see his black hair. You're going to see what he's dressed. You're going to experience his attitude, everything that he is. You're going to be partakers of what he is. It's that way with any of us. So when the Lord comes, what do you think he's going to bring with you? He's going to bring who he is. And he's a healer. He's a savior. He's a comforter. He'll make things a way where there's no way. That's who he is. And you know what? He comes everywhere he's invited without fail. Right? And when two or three are gathered together, what happens? See, you do. You do have the ability to bring him to your presence. And when he comes with his attributes. Amen. There's not one thing the enemy can do to stop that. Amen. I really appreciate what Brother Daniel shared with us this morning. You see, people, Holy Spirit's always positive. I mentioned the other day, I have to say, I think it was last week, I said something about, you know, sometimes I have to say, you know what, I'm not being very positive. And it was Sunday night, I made a comment, and my wife's, as she can do sometimes, corrected me. Not that she was trying to be bossy, but just in what she said, pointing out, I just said something that was not positive. Right? But the Holy Spirit's always positive. He always wants to speak and do that which is right. And so we want our lives to be the same way. And create an atmosphere that he would come in. Beloved, I had some announcements I want to make before we go. And I got a text yesterday from Brother Samuel Parker from Word Made Flesh Assembly. He was letting me know that they're having a youth meeting on March 8th. So I want to share that with you. It's a nice little church there. I don't remember the name of the place there where they're at. We can tell you. So March 8th, they're having a youth meetings. And I said to him, I said, is there age limits? He said, the requirement is that you have to have a pulse. So just remember that. I'm sure he enjoyed it. I really enjoyed my time when we visited there. Also, I mentioned the other day we're trying to plan a marriage enrichment weekend. And I need to know everybody's schedule. If you've got a situation that's already planned, I need to know about it so I can plan it for a weekend where everybody can be here. Because I don't want to plan something. It's one thing just to have a normal service and people are out. But when you're going to bring people in, it costs a pretty good chunk of money just to bring a preacher in for one weekend and just give him one night in a hotel room, pay expenses, and give him an offering. It's not cheap. So we want to make sure that everybody can be here. Because I had this on my heart for a while, and I believe our young people, all of us who are married, can always use some encouragement in that direction. So I need to know everybody's schedule. And over the next week or so, I'd like to have that so I can pick a time. And, you know, I have to pick a time that works with all of y'all, but I also have to pick a time that works with the minister. So there's a lot of coordinating to get that right. And so just ask that you would share that with me. And then also remember this next Saturday night is Bible study. We've been normally starting at 6 o'clock, but if it's okay, we'll just start at 6:30. Brother Daniel usually has to work till 6. So if we could just start at 6:30, that would be good. And I will say this. I told my wife the other day I was going to tell the church, I'd like for each of you, when you come to Bible study, I'd like for you to be able to tell the Bible study group, what question do you have that you would like to ask the Lord when you get there? Something you just say, you know, I would like to ask the Lord about that. Not that you're going to ask me and I'm going to try and answer it. I just like to know what is on everyone's heart. What would you like to ask the Lord when you get there? I've got some questions I'd like to ask him. Amen. And I think all of us would if we stop and think about it. So we certainly want to do that. Amen. What are we doing? Bye.